Welcome to the ABC edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we discuss Y&R snapping up Eden Regal and ABC's decision to recast the role of Bianca. Scott Evans has no plans to leave One Life to Live, and Johnny takes on the Corinthos organization on General Hospital. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Reagan, welcome.
Hello.
Jamie, welcome.
Hello.
Now, Jamie, we discussed this a little bit in the CBS Days podcast, but for our ABC listeners who don't listen to the CBS Days podcast, you put up a blind item this last week about Eden Regal, and I just have to say my favorite quote of the coverage of the blind item came from Soap Opera Network when they said, "Soaps in Depth has confirmed the news that Daytime Confidential has been having a particularly difficult time, not officially on Monday morning of Thursday, March 4th. So kudos to Soap Opera Network because they wrote it in a very fun way.
I suck at blind items. I'm that kid who, when you tell a secret, you know, it's like, don't tell anyone. I'm like, okay. You know, so yeah, blind items and me. Yeah.
He really does have a hard time. I can verify that. He's busting at the seams.
Yeah. But yeah, the not so blind item was that Eden Regal is going to The Young and the Restless. Great news, you know, not so good news for an already struggling All My Children, but you know, from what my sources tell me, Eden was willing to go back to All My Children. All she ever wanted was for someone in their camp to sit her down and give her a decent story idea. And imagine that, considering her last stint, you know, with this show and her previous stint. And ABC, I saw that one of the magazines ran something saying that she was done with the role. That wasn't true. That is, Eden Regal has never intimated to anyone that she was done playing Bianca. ABC only became interested really in securing her once Y&R became interested. And what does that sound like? Finola Hughes, who they could have given two shits about until it was announced that Finola was going to Y&R to play Victor Newman's mother-in-law. You know, what was it, a couple of years back? It's like, it's just tit for tat.
And it was a bit role. The Finola Hughes thing was barely anything. Nothing in comparison to this.
Yeah, it's tit for tat. It's this type of management system that has wrecked Daytime, that has brought it to its knees, that it used to be about a writer coming in with a long story that, you know, honored the tenets of good dramatic writing and sought out to, you know, engage the audience. Now it's tit for tat. We make it up where we go along. I know for a fact Chuck Pratt never had a long story for Bianca. He made it up as he went along. You know, his idea initially was for this character to deal with, you know, this Spike TV version of lesbians where all the lesbians are making out with guys. And, you know, Eden
now,
has a
would you quit going after Blue Mountain State? I love that show.
Eden has a responsibility to her gay fans, and she was the one, you know, having to deal with that every time these idiot penises wrecked the Bianca character because they were writing. I mean, do you really expect someone who says our lesbians are hotter to make sure that a story is told about lesbian romance correctly?
Well,
no.
And after the Zarf storyline, after
pregnant
with Zach's kid, then have her love interest kiss Zach.
And Eden's never said anything negative in print about any of those stories. I interviewed her for Curve and asked her about that awful Zarf story, and she said that it was an amazing experience, and, you know, it reached out to transgendered people. She will not say a bad word about these people.
She's a first-class trooper.
Yes, they will shit on her and drag her through the mud and go to TV Guide magazine and blame her for the storyline when it fails.
And now they're retaliating by recasting the role of Bianca. And as I said on the blog, Betty White for Kendall and Bianca.
Yeah, it's okay, Luke. It's it's ridiculous. It's like, I'll show you, I'll recast. Who cares? Y&R will be on longer than All My Children. I'm not speaking for Eden, of course, because she probably will care, because she does love that character. But, you know, Jamie Lunar is the 40-year-old redhead playing Marcy Walker's role. I have no faith in their casting director to cast this correctly. They'll probably get the person who played Zarf to play Bianca, because All My Children doesn't see the forest for the trees. They have, and Luke pointed this out, they have glaring casting problems already there. They can't cast Colby correctly. They can't cast anyone correctly. Yet
anybody
they,
who's arrived
a love interest for
years.
Jacob Young correctly, but they really want to now go tit for tat and try to find, you know, some CBS actor, I'm sure, to try to, and who, I mean, and best of luck. And I'm not going to crap on the girl that they get. If she's good, she's good. Fine. Recast happen all the time. One of my sticks here is wishful casting. I pretty much think anyone in daytime can be recast except for Susan Lucci,
Brenda Barrett.
No, I didn't say that. I love her, but no. Susan Lucci, Anthony Geary, and Jeannie Francis play the only roles in daytime that I really think cannot be recast. But that being said, they need to let General Hospital's casting director, he needs to just do all the casting. Well, no, One Life to Live does. There is pretty good. But since they moved to the West Coast, just let, what's his name?
Mark Teschner.
Mark Teschner cast for All My Children. Just get rid, if you want to save some money, get rid of All My Children's terrible casting director and bring on Mark Teschner to just cast both shows. Then I might have faith in a Bianca recast. But, you know, it's All My Children has, I've been tuning back in sparingly, and it's not that much better. It's not. I mean, so what? They did the same old Return from the Dead that they always do. You know, who cares? You know, Dixie running around with a red wig on. In heaven, do they have hair designers? I mean, do they have hair dressers in heaven? It's like, what? They couldn't get that little curly blonde wig like she used to have her hair? It's just stupid. It's just ridiculous. And they don't want to save this show. Brian Franz Prue didn't want to save this show when he hired the guy that put microchips in people's heads on As the World Turns and had cousins kiss in Unguided Light. It's like, if you really wanted to save All My Children, you would have gone out and done what As the World Turns did a decade ago and found a Hogan Sheffer, somebody with fresh vision, and paired them with a Lorraine Broderick who gets the history of the show, not two bona fide show killers. And yeah, so it's like we complain a lot about Y&R, and Y&R definitely has its problems, but on its, like I said on the CBS podcast, on Y&R's worst day, it's better than All My Children's best day these days. So kudos to Eden. She's got to eat, and she's got an artist who has to be somewhat engaged in her craft, and that wasn't happening playing a lesbian who lied to her beloved sister about getting knocked up with her husband and then only to see her supposed love of her life make out with her, you know, brother-in-law the day before the wedding. You know, it's like, please, All My Children, I mean, you fucked it up yourself. Now you're trying to blame Eden once again. So it's like, whatever.
Reagan, I want to get your thoughts on it. What do you think of all this going on? Because I know you sometimes will catch a little bit of Y&R on SoapNet at the end of one of your shows, but other than that, you don't follow it. But so from an ABC fan perspective, what do you think?
Well, I think they didn't really leave her much of a choice. I mean, I don't believe ABC for one minute. I think that her quote to in an interview that she'd played the character for 10 years and that, you know, sometimes you just have to move on was taken out of context and rewritten a few times to suit a different need, I suppose, that she was done playing the character. That's not what she said at all. If you go back and read in interviews and then kind of read to where it got, you will see that that's not what she said.
No, you know, she tweeted, when All My Children, I've seen people who are done playing a character.
Yeah.
They don't tweet when the show moves to the West Coast, the day that it's announced, excitedly about it coming. You know, it's like she wanted to go back to the show. They're lying. They are absolutely lying, and they know it.
If you go back to an old podcast, you asked what I thought All My Children needed to do to get back on track. And I said they needed to do whatever to keep Alicia Minshew or recast that role with somebody good, really good, and get Eden Rigo back as Bianca and refocus that show around Erica Kane and her girls. And I still believe that. Is it a recastable role? Yes. Is All My Children good at casting? Like Jamie said, no. He's absolutely right. I don't know who their casting director is, but just get
They need
Teschner.
To be fired is what they need to have
happen.
Just get
Mark Teschner. Let him pull double duty. Pay him whatever he needs to do to pull double duty. He's, you know, he's a great casting guy for being, you know, in daytime, you know, for the bad rap that daytime gets, that is. Because he's found some amazing talent. So let him do both shows. Let him get somebody good in there as Bianca, because that's where the show needs to focus more around. Susan Lucci is the diva of daytime, and that's where that show needs to kind of get back on track. I've been watching it. I've been enjoying it. It still has some missteps. It's not perfect. It's not my go-to show. I mean, it's not what I'm racing to watch. But, you know, it's picked back up a little bit, and it could go somewhere good if they kind of find their footing a little bit more. Blame Eden. She did what she had to do, so...
Now, Jamie, for the ABC fans who don't watch Y&R, who may want to tune in because...
Let me just say this. No, I want to say this because I want to put this on notice. To every blog and every magazine that is taking these leaked stories about Eden not wanting to play the role and not reaching out to Eden or her camp, shame on you. You're not journalists. If you did go to journalism school, you need to have your degrees rescinded. And if you're just a blogger, let me explain to you. When someone leaks you something, you're supposed to go get both sides of the story, like I did. No, Eden never told ABC, I'm done playing the role. And if you buy that because you want to still get your promos or your synopses or whatever, or get to go to the events, then shame on you. Because I don't care if ABC ever works with me again. I will never spread lies about someone without going and asking them or asking someone in the know from their camp what the true story is. So shame on you.
Now,
okay, what were you saying?
Jamie, now for ABC, All My Children fans or ABC fans who might want to check out Eden on Y&R, tell them a little bit about the character she's going to be portraying and the storyline that she's going to be involved in.
Well, I think it'll be fun for fans of Bianca, because I know for me, when Katie McClain went to As the World Turns, and Luke, you feel the same way, after seeing her play Sainted Dixie for so long, or, you know, she was only not a saint when she had heart problems and would cheat because of her heart. You know, I know I would get horny when I had cardiac problems. But so we really like seeing Katie go over there and play billionaire bitch on wheels.
I prefer Rosanna over Dixie.
Yeah, well, early on I did, but basically in the end, Rosanna became Dixie Light. But yeah, so my point being, it was really fun to see Katie McClain play this, you know, bitchy character. I think Eden fans will have the similar fun, you know, after her playing the most virtuous sainted lesbian in America, to get to tune in and see her play now a bitchy heterosexual woman who is basically the scorn of the town. Whereas Bianca was the young Mona, the heart and soul, you know, everyone in town hates to see Heather Cubbin because she's such a snippy, uptight little biatch. You know, she's the district attorney. She's always going after the Newmans, which means unless things shift, that means Eden Rigo will be going up against Eric Braden. For the gay angle, her boyfriend, her ex-boyfriend, Adam, cheated on her with a guy. So, you know, Eden Rigo will still get to have her, you know, 6 degrees of homosexuality, you know, but in terms of, you know, being connected with that. And then
I'm really hoping she ends up being a young Alexis.
Carrington?
Davis.
Oh. Okay. That came out of the ballpark. It almost hit me in the head like a curveball, but okay.
I love how you go to Dynasty.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I'm Ron Calavati. No, I'm just kidding. I love my Ron, but y'all know he watched Dynasty. But okay. So yeah, no. Heather, to play up the All My Children angle, Heather's connection to your All My Children fave. Let's see. Billy Miller, who played the brother of Crazy Annie on All My Children, is Billy Abbott on this show. And Billy Abbott and Heather
have slept together.
They had a booty call a couple of weeks ago. He is the editor of the, you know, fashion magazine turned tabloid that only covers people in Genoa City called Restless Style.
That sells millions of copies every month.
Yeah, it's like, wow.
So is this going to be like a traditional recast where one day you're going to see the previous actress and the next day you're going to see Eden?
More than likely.
Yes. Well, she will start taping in a couple of weeks and she'll appear in April. It's so cool though, because when I first heard it, like, I hadn't seen Heather in a while and I was like, huh? You know, I did the same thing a lot of people are doing. I'm like, Heather? Heather's blonde and blue eyed. But Veil Blue? Look, Veil Blue must have sensed something because she's darkened her hair recently. She appeared this week and I was like, oh shit, she dyed her hair. So thank you, Veil. But, you know, not being callous, but yes, you know, so, yeah, it's just going to be one of those type of situations. It's same. They're also doing the same thing with Marcy Ryland, who, and it's going to be, you know, it's basically.
Yeah, hey, speaking of Marcy Ryland, did you guys get, like, your bonus check yet?
I'm serious.
I have not gotten the bonus check, but I would gladly turn it back if she went to All My Children.
I wouldn't. I like these actors if you really want them to go to All My Children. They had to move.
All My Children. I want to be able to have a good
Children. Go to YouTube. I'm sorry. I just have no faith in All My Children giving me a good show again, and I haven't seen. And if they had, if I was told Lorraine was going to write the show long term, maybe I'd feel that way. But we call him Killer Christman on the CBS podcast for a reason. I think Jillian came up with that. David Christman helped kill Guiding Light, and.
Then even As the World Turns, didn't he?
Yeah, and As the World Turns was already dead.
And he wrote the exact same story on As the World Turns that he had written
on
Guiding Light.
A microchip in someone's head that made them think they were a dead man. Do you really think I'm going to have faith that this idiot is going to fix All My Children? He's going to put a microchip in Erica Kane's head and make her think she's Dimitri Merrick. It's... No.
Or Stephanie Gachet's character is going to end up kissing her cousin. And
right. Well, let me go back to telling people. You wanted me to tell them about Eden and Y&R. Okay. So Elizabeth Hendrickson, who was her love interest on AMC, plays Chloe on this show. Chloe is a formerly bitchy fashionista who's kind of been watered down lately because she's in this relationship with this drip Chance. But she is the ex-wife of Billy Miller's character, Billy. So, maybe that'll mean there's going to be some little bitchy rivalry between Bam. You know, Bam can stand for bitchy now. So, Greg Rickard is also on this show. And any of you imaginary bitches fans?
Yes.
So, he played in a very funny episode of Imaginary Bitches.
Which put nerds in a bad light.
I didn't never know nerds had ever been in a good light. But okay.
Oh,
except on CBS, Big Bang Theory. But So Wyatt R has done what? When I first started talking about this, I was like, someone needs to put these talented kids in the same group together. My dream is now for Sony, which, you know, owns the majority stake in Y&R, to do a second season of Imaginary Bitches on their Crackle channel where they did the Bannon Way Vanessa Marcel's web series. Because, I mean, Eden gets it. She got new media. You know, now everybody and their mama's doing a web soap. You know, I'm taping one in my bedroom as we speak. But Eden, you know, was one of the forerunners of – you know, soap stars going to the web, and 5 million hits later, you know, now we've got Gotham and Venice and so many other projects, and she's just a smart cookie.
Let's talk about Brooke's return, because she moved into the Chandler Mansion this last week, just as Annie was heading out to go to the hospital for a little while, making Annie uneasy. Reagan, what do you think of Annie versus Brooke?
You're making me queasy.
It's all right. I like Crazy Annie, so I thought I would enjoy it a little bit more, but this isn't, like, really coming across as all that crazy. It's coming across more desperate, I think, and I'm not enjoying it quite as much. She did such a great job when Annie lost her mind the first time around, and that really came across as crazy, like psychotic. This, like I said, it's just kind of, it feels a little more desperate than crazy. And it's just, you know, it's a lot of petty jealousy over a man she really shouldn't be married to anyways, is kind of how I'm looking at it. So it's kind of, it is, it's a little, I never really thought about it, the aspect that it should be more Brooke versus Erica. And, you know, because every time I do see her kind of flip out about Greenlee, it seems like it's so short and so almost out of place, because then she goes back to this like Adam crazy fixation. And then that doesn't seem right either.
You're talking
about
Annie?
Yeah, you know, and then that doesn't seem right either, so.
They need a really sexy Scott, because the what could be a great archetype for this story is if Annie, they've tried to play it up, but it's just not there. No. Annie should be banging one of Adam's heirs. It should be Camelot. It should be King Arthur, Guinevere, and his knight banging his wife. It needs to be... There needs to be a really sexy Scott who is Adam is trusting to, you know, to be his heir or whatever, thinking, and then he's banging Annie, and Annie's like, you know, in love with
the like this star-crossed tortured lover type thing is like a little ridiculous. It falls a little flat. Like, it doesn't do anything for me at all. You know, I don't buy them as this couple that's staying apart who really love each other or who have these feelings for each other.
No.
You know, like, I'd buy it more if they were, like, thrown down, you know, in a bed upstairs while Adam, you know, at the hospital tending to
Or at least up, some tortured know? Kisses. And
yeah.
I mean, and I like Adam Mayfield. I met him at the Emmys. We had a really long talk. And I think he's a good actor. I just don't think he's cast right in this part. I think he'd be better at a more character type role, not a hunk role, you know, maybe a quirky lawyer type or something. But he's just, you know, not that the wife is going to be longing and lusting for. It's just, right. I don't buy it. It's just like, All My Children has so many more fish to fry rather than to be sitting there doing an, I'll show you, we're going to cast Bianca tomorrow. Yeah, baby. And then, you know, butts heads with Julie Head and Carruthers and knocks her unconscious.
You know, that headline was just, it just had bitter written all over it.
Of course.
Oh, totally.
Unbecoming. It was just ridiculous.
It's tit for tat.
So ridiculous.
Tit for tat. It's a chess game that nobody wins. You know, Brian Franz makes a move, Barbara Bloom makes a move. I'll show you. It's Battleship. I'll sink your soap.
We were on Instant Messenger when that story broke. And what did I send to you, Luke? I was like, bitter much?
Well, <It's> just... one of the other things we've discussed on Instant Messenger a little bit, and when you were looking for images, was Dixie, JRC Dixie. And as Jamie pointed out earlier, apparently they have hair salons, because Dixie went from being a blonde to having red hair.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It's just...
Not Winona Judd and come to Pine Valley.
Winona Judd.
And there's supposed to be some more like little fantasy scenes coming up, and I'm just...
Well, and every time I see JR in heaven in that robe, or wherever the hell he's at, all I expect him to say is wax on, wax off. It's just...
Why couldn't they just bring back that stupid cambious man and say, surprise, Greenlee wasn't the only one alive. I got Dixie too. I mean, yeah, I'm sick of returns from the dead, but I would have rather that than another ghostly visit from Greenlee to tell Tad it's okay to move on. Hadn't she done that about 10 times now? He's been getting
well, and didn't Jesse do that at one point, and now he's alive?
You know?
Everybody's done it, and they all come back alive at least once.
At a wedding or something. It's not that revolutionary, and all these promos, please come back to All My Children. It's like, well, give us something to come back for.
Let's talk about One Life to Live for a bit, because this last week, Scott Evans addressed reports that he might be leaving, saying he had no plans or has no plans to leave, and it's not in his hands. Jamie, what'd you think?
Well, I mean, it's a situation where until they sign this amazing young actor to a contract, it just boggles my mind that he's done. I think it all started with him talking about booking or, you know, going out for pilot season. I mean, hello.
Yeah, he went on an audition.
Yeah, and this is the thing. They have made this guy, you know, I don't know if, well, in this day and age of soapdom, nothing gets you mainstream attention like playing a gay character. It's like, so ABC has really set themselves up to have this boy snapped up by, you know, having him in this groundbreaking gay love story that gets him in Perez and the Huffington Post and everywhere else, and then not securing him to a contract. Because, you know, what if CBS brings him over there, offers him the role of Nick and Sharon's son tomorrow or
Noah?
Prime time. Yeah, you know, it's like put him on contract. But, you know, I don't know. Colin Fish are in a huge story right now that I'm sure is going to get bigger with the custody battle. I don't know. I mean, common sense don't grow on trees, and I hope they realize what they have in Colin Fish. But I'm sure that there's a lot of thought going on as to what can be done to get this show's ratings up, and that can lead to panic. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I hope that they secure him to a contract. One life to live really perplexes me because I still feel like it's funny. Like I've never been an indie fan. I've never been like, I don't go to the opera. I barely go to the theater. I am a pop culture boy. Like every writing class I ever took, writers would say, you know, this one lady, this British teacher I took this writing class from was like, I want to know what your favorite novels are, and please no one say Gone with the Wind. And I was like, shit, I need to get out of here. You know, because I like the top 40 musicians. I usually like the top movies. I mean, that just, I'm the masses. So I never, you know, when TV Guide started the whole, your best show you're not watching, I never usually liked those shows. If it's between a Melrose Place and a Party of Five, I'm watching the Melrose Place. I don't like, you know, the homely little shows with homely little earnest people. That's why I didn't like all those shows on, you know, the WP except for Buffy. I've never been a fan of underdog shows. Usually the shows that I organically like tend to be the most popular shows in television, the most popular movies. I'm not very artsy-fartsy. So it really frustrates me because usually when I like something, everyone else likes it. So I don't know what's wrong with you people that are not watching One Life to Live. It's like, Jesus, I don't know how to be an indie fan or a fan of the this is how you Friday Night Lights people must feel. I don't
know. Oh, my God.
Jamie, I like popular stuff, so I don't know why One Life to Live is.
You just crossed the sacred line for Reagan.
You're gonna make me hyperventilate over here.
I did that on purpose. But no, I'm serious. If it was one of those, the best shows you're not watching, I was like,
Friday Night Lights is the best show you are not watching. I just want to point that out. Never mind. Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm just I am that dude that watches the stuff that is really popular because that's usually what appeals to me. And it's not that it appeals to me first, and then it's never that I watch it because it's popular. That's just it. Usually, you know, I like Britney Spears for real. You know, when you had to whisper that, you know, I was the one who knew all her dance steps. My lonely dance is, you know, so when everyone would say, oh, this one is so much better than her. And I'm like, well, yeah, whatever, Mandy Moore, get over yourself. But, you know, it's like, so I really don't know. It's frustrating for me because I don't know how One Life to Live could get more popular. I mean, the last time it had huge ratings buzz and stuff was during what everybody didn't like, the rape manse. It's like the climax of the rape manse.
I liked it.
You know, blew him up for a minute. So, I mean, I really don't know what to say. I mean, other than maybe Todd and Marty need to be not in any romantic pairing at all. I don't want to endorse that at all. But maybe they have to somehow move back into each other's orbit.
Marty takes over the banner.
Ew, that's stupid.
Yeah, that would be smart. That's like Taylor Hayes, the psychiatrist running the Forrester fashion show on that other show. But it's like, they've got to put, well, the you know, they've got Cole and Star.
Can we talk about this stupid big storyline they have for Marty right now?
Why didn't they just take my advice a while back and get rid of her? For the love of God. I don't believe that John is so boring. I don't believe that his sperm can swim that far.
I like Don McBain.
I don't like him. And really, I'm not a huge Natalie fan either. So I was kind of like, eh, I don't mind if they put him back together, because at least it makes like my dislike real time efficient. They'd be on screen together, and I can dislike them at once instead of separately.
Liked John. I liked him with Evangeline, and yeah. I liked him with, and I like Natalie. But now Marty Saybrook and Luke and I barely agree on stuff, and it's funny. Luke and I tend to agree on the shows that we only have been watching the least same amount of time. That's kind of weird, but I don't get the appeal of Marty Saybrook. They want to get Brandon Buddy his Emmy.
Kill her off.
Shoot her out of a cannon. I just don't. She is like a wet blanket. You know, she's great when she's doing those fiery scenes where she's attacking someone. Like, I like her attacking Natalie, but her and John kissing and hugging, you know, I want to clip my fingernails. I mean, there's no heat there whatsoever. I racked my brain. I'm like, who on this canvas? No, she has amazing chemistry with Trevor St. John.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that'll be the way it'll be. I mean, if they ever bring back Roger Howarth and make him Todd, then they can say that Trevor wasn't the guy that raped her, and then they can be together. Because, I mean, she has no chemistry with Michael Easton. And, you know, and I'm like, who would she? Maybe, okay. And I don't know the history of this show like I know other shows, but with Amanda Seddon leaving, I don't know. That'd be gross, because isn't Marty good friends with Jessica? I don't know.
Well, okay, here you go.
She clicks opposite Natalie. Like, her and Natalie already have this bitchy.
They become a lesbian couple?
No.
Ew, no, don't do that.
No. When Amanda Seddon leaves, why don't they put Marty with Clint? I don't know how or why. Maybe Clint can't get it up after.
Amanda Seddon leaves, they should recast the character.
Can't get it up and has to go get therapy when he finds out that there's nothing wrong with him physically. And then him and Marty Saybrook, Clint and Marty, fall for each other. And that'll drive Natalie insane that Marty has become her stepmother, you know, or something. I don't know, but I don't know.
Reagan, please save us from this.
She renders my creativity powerless.
I hate to say it, because she did such a fantastic job during the rape man. Well, maybe she should have been like a limited return or something.
Yeah. And I didn't even say like, it. The rape, like, yeah, she did good stuff, but I'm gonna say it. Even being in that press room at the Emmys, I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, Debbie was robbed. I was just like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get the appeal of this character. Now, when she was obsessed with getting Todd and, you know, luring him up to the roof, she was fire back then. But this, her trying to be romantic, I just don't get it. It's not doing it for me.
Well, let's talk about something that's not doing it for Reagan. Reagan, you and I have discussed this last week, Ford.
And
Langston.
I'm going to stop talking to you when I am.
But they bring up the best topics.
I know.
Goodest.
The best.
Look at those English skills.
I'll tell you the truth.
So, share with the fans what you and I were discussing about.
Don't like him. And he turns Langston into a panty dropper. It's creepy, and I just don't like him.
Well, you,
I don't even see his point of being there. I don't see why he's in
the defense of Langston.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
If I had never seen a reason to drop your panties before Ford, that's a reason, Reagan. I'm sorry.
No.
Maybe if Marco gave her more reason to drop her panties. That little girl is just fast. That's all that is. She's fast.
It's like she walked in his apartment door and her pants were off. I was like, what is this girl doing?
She is having an awakening. A spring awakening.
Awakening is what it's called.
She is learning what her body was built for tough
again and again.
That dude, he is sex on a stick. I think they have a find in him.
He is like a pedophile.
What? She is 18 if there's... No.
She just turned 18. She's barely legal. That's the name of a porno. She's barely legal.
That is the clincher, though. Legal.
Well, and Reagan, when you and I were discussing it, you also brought up the fact that you had sort of hoped that he'd end up being a bad, like one of Mitch's minions.
There were like rumors that he was like one of Mitch's minions, and he was the one assigned to watching Langston and reporting that.
And that you didn't like that theory so much because then it would be end up being Eazy-E that also would be that way.
Yeah, because that rumor also attached Eli to Mitch, too. So that's the only reason why I didn't like it. But
yeah, now, you know, okay, and I might get slaughtered for this, but I think this is probably like one of those situations like with a Victor Newman, and no, I don't compare him to Victor Newman or Luke, but I do think that Ford was probably just a limited character to be a thorn in, first he was introduced through David, and they brought him back for this, but I think I like Marco, I do, but Marco has become the equivalent of Scott to Laura to Luke in this equation.
It's not like, so much that I love Marco, don't get me wrong, because I do find Marco a tad bit boring. It's kind of like I enjoy Cole and Star. They have meaning behind their story with each other, and I do feel like Langston and Marco, they're losing a little bit of meaning and almost like fire behind their story lately. Yeah. But I just feel like, I don't
know.
And
can't you just wait?
This guy, this four just makes, he's a weasel. He just.
Well, not only that, but like when he goes to the restaurant and he's telling Marco, I just got a great exercise workout.
That's awesome. That is good storytelling.
It's a little bit creepy. Somebody's doing their job, man, because they're creeping me out and pissing me off. So they're doing their job.
One of my favorite scenes on Days of Our Lives was when Patch told Roman Brady how good a role in the hay his sister Kayla was. And then Roman beat the crap out of him. I mean, that's what daytime used to do. They used to bring all these dirty bird guys, and women love them.
Well, Reagan doesn't. This woman doesn't. I don't love him.
He is like, I think he's a little too, the thing of it is with Ford, he's a little too pretty to be that classic dirty bird boy.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
I like him. I mean, I think that, I hope they like soften his edges a bit, because he definitely seems to be leaning toward being, you know, a user, but Langston wants it. You cannot use the people.
It's typical ABC, though. Look how dumb they're making her, that poor girl.
I think she's just horny. I don't see dumb.
Look, Blair totally set him up. He totally came over there to bang the crap out of Blair. Well,
I know girls like Langston. When a dick is piped down like that, you don't care if your mama, Condoleezza Rice, tells you they are bad. It does not matter, because all her mind is thinking about is the visceral memory of the pipeline. And obviously, he looks pretty good. And who can Blair talk about? I mean, Blair is throwing down with Eli.
And Blair knows better than anyone. Yeah. She knows.
See, Langston and Ford is telling her the truth. Why should she feel all obligated to Marco? She's 12. I mean, well, she's 18. She's legal. So she should be having a good time. That's the problem. She should just be like, I want this too. But I really want, I can't wait to see, and we know this will happen, I hope. You know Langston's, I mean, Marco's parents are going to be like, we told you! You know, those parents are going to be like, we told you, stupid girl!
But is,
you know,
that where this is headed, though? Because we have Cole with his new study partner. Does that mean that when Star finds out that Cole does something with the study partner, that it's going to be Star and Marco?
No. I'd rather see. This study partner's a drip. I'd rather Cole.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, I'd rather Cole have some buddies that try to take him out, and like he gets fun at a party. And I mean, there's so many things. If you watch that show, Teen Mom.
Yeah, there's so many things that they. There's so many notes they can play with.
Yeah.
A young couple that are trying to raise their kid while he's trying to balance college life. You know?
Yeah, I mean, they need to. You know, I don't know, maybe other girls could be like pledged sororities or something. Although, with the Marty Saybrook history, I don't think that
sororities are the best way to go.
Will ever want to join a fraternity or sorority, but which is such a big part of the college experience. But, I mean, there could be other little things that, like, remind you that they're not yet, you know.
Well, and here's completely off topic, but I don't understand how it is that you have Cole and Star. Star is basically an heiress. Langston is an heiress. And they are living in this god-awful apartment that you would think that a child, it would not be safe for a child to live in. Why can't they have one of the nice apartments?
That is no different than on God and Light when Philip and Beth and Rick and Mindy all lived at Company, a boarding house. Even though Philip was a Spalding and Rick was a doctor's son, and Mindy was an oil heiress, Luke. It's a situation where, yes, they're all heirs and heiresses because too many people on soaps have money, but it would be, what do you want them in, a Paris Hilton type penthouse?
No, I think that they could at least afford what Skylar and Rachel are in.
Rachel is a grown-ass woman!
And Todd has a giant checkbook. And so
Todd just wrote a check to the high school for $1 million.
Exactly.
But Todd is also not a fan of this situation. She moved out on her own. You know, it's real life.
In my family, if this was the case where my grandparents had come along and they did not like something that my dad was doing, it would have been, let's write a check so that we can get our granddaughter into a better place.
No,
and then the conflict be where the husband is dealing with the fact that his
not in my family. In my family,
and providing
my
for the
grandmother was alive, and she was Star's grandmother. It would be, I don't approve of this living in sin, and if y'all are gonna do this, you're on your own. That's how a lot of families are. I mean, just because their parents have money, like it's like the Cosby Show. Remember when Vanessa was talking about having, I don't like being rich, and Cliff told her, you're not rich, your mom and I are. I mean, maybe Todd and Blair aren't ponying up for her apartment because they wanted her to live there with that baby at La Boule.
Let's talk about Gina Tognoni's Kelly and the death of her mother. Impressions, Reagan?
I mean, Melinda.
About Melinda dying?
Yes.
Who cares? I don't even remember Melinda as a character. Who cares that Melinda died?
It was a bit of a poot. It was like a slow fart. It was like,
oh my God. Who cares? I'm sorry for anybody that likes Cassie. They should have killed Cassie. It's the only way it would have had any impact.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it would have been Cassie. I wouldn't kill. I hope. Yeah, I would love to see. Like, and I like the actress. I like Laura Bonariglio, but I would love to see a Julie Pinson, or some, you know, powerhouse play Cassie. So I wouldn't really want. I'm just over Mitch Lawrence. I wouldn't have wanted him to kill anybody of any of the Kramer girls, but I guess that's how they feel because they're like, well, let's just kill somebody who doesn't matter.
Melinda. I mean, Who cares? I could have cared less that Melinda died. Okay, bye, Melinda.
I'm glad Vicky booted Charlie's ass out. I tell you what.
I mean, Erica Slezak was great during those scenes, but Jesus Christ, Brian Kirwan, peel yourself off the wall.
I've been saying this for a while, though.
I've never said this for a seasoned actor, but I don't think that baby knows where he is anymore. He used to be so good. Is he doing a play or something? And he's like giving all of his good juice over there. I mean, he just does not care anymore. He does not. He doesn't even show up. I'm playing the role of Charlie. It's me. He's not even on the set anymore. It's like, what is up with him?
Before we move to General Hospital, let's discuss the Sierra Mist custody battle, as Jamie coined it.
Jamie, I just love how you renamed her Sierra Mist. I think it's way better than the name she was
given. I'm just tired of that name for kids.
Oh, it's terrible. It's on all these kids' names now. Now, I know someone on Twitter went and said, what's the problem with Sierra? My daughter's name is Sierra. It's not the fact that there's a problem with the actual name. It's the fact that it's showing up with every single kid.
Soaps always do this. You know, there's a Hope, and then every baby is named Hope and Faith and, you know, for a couple of years.
Carly.
And now it's Sierra. Bowen Hope's child is named Sierra. And now this baby's name is, and it's based on these little dolls that, now, have they always talked about these dolls, or did that just pop up last week?
That just popped up when she was giving birth.
I was like, what the?
Never heard
these dolls never even liked each other. They, like, all I remember from their backstory was, Rex was nice to me in high school, and then you took him away
from me.
Well, and who do we, I mean, and we don't want her to get custody. We don't want Gigi to have custody. If Amanda Seton were sticking around, I would honestly want to have Amanda Seton get custody.
No, I wouldn't. I want Colin Fish to raise the baby. But I'd love for Kim to try to use the Buchanan money to, you know, because that's always a good story on soaps. The gold digger married into money. And then lording her way around town and like forcing her way.
Oh, she's already got the fur coat. Did you see her? She walks in.
Yeah. It was
bedecked in jewels.
Yeah. And they need to recast because this is a phenomenal role. And if Amanda is smelling herself and wants to go out for greener pastures, you know, recast this role and keep this character. They need to keep the Kim character.
Ron Adrian Leone needs a job.
Has created a really good character here.
Who did you just say?
Adrian Leone.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. No, she's a baby. No.
Amanda Seton isn't that old either.
But not Adrian Leone. No. Brooklyn from General Hospital. That's who we were talking
about.
It's
been like 5 years since she's been on. She's at least 25.
No.
Yeah, she's old enough, but
I think it
would be jarring, but she might could pull it off. She was on my short list, but I don't know. I think they should just go back into, like, you know, I trust their casting
Steal
director.
Another one from Gossip Girl.
I trust their casting director. Now, this was all my children. I'd say kill her off, shoot her through a cannon, you know, have her eat some pancakes because they'll fuck it up. But, you know, I'm okay with One Life to Live's casting director. And y'all need to keep Daphne Duplex. I know she said she was packing up to go to L.A. Why are they getting rid of my Rachel? I like Rachel.
I like her too. She's already in L.A. She moved already.
Okay.
Y'all get some decent black people. It's terrible black people on that show that you won't Shit. Get rid of Greg. Why are you getting rid of Rachel?
I realize that there was
she
one other thing.
She sang that nice little chicken song. I mean, she's
chicken
got
nuggets.
It.
Okay.
Damn it. I
realize that there was one quick thing that we needed to discuss before we move on. Jessica at 17. Apparently, Christian is now a teacher. She went to his class. Reagan, what'd you think?
Did Christian ever go to college?
I think he did. You know, I always cringe whenever anything's going to happen to Jessica. Too much happens to Jessica. I will say this. don't think she's doing all that bad of Bree's doing all that bad of a job with it. I think she's really kind of having a little bit of fun playing the high schooler. So it's not terrible, but I'm kind of sick of everything happening to Jessica. I'm really want to put One Life to Live on notice that this better be the last thing that happens to Jessica for a long time.
Jamie?
Lord in the morning, mister.
You know he hates it.
Another mister. No, actually, she has been okay. You know, I've sort of been on board with it. Her acting has really been good.
I think she's doing a good job.
Yeah, I didn't get to do the Performer of the Week this week, but if I would have been on, I would have given Bree Williamson a Most Improved because she's really selling it, but I don't know how far this can go. I hope that it's not a let's really put Jessica back with Christian because they have no chemistry. I wasn't watching the first time, but I think it's two different actors, right?
It is. Yeah, Aaron Torres.
So she has amazing chemistry with Brody, Mark Lawson. And although while I wouldn't mind, I'm going to be honest now, I'm a Tika fan, so I wouldn't mind Brody and Layla bonding over this and hitting
the sheets. I hate swapping partners. I hate it. It's too easy. That's laziness.
But you're right.
Do I agree that they would be hot together? Yes, they would be hot together because I think Tika's got like beautiful skin. So up against him, that would be hot together. But that's yeah, lazy.
But and ivory. Harmony. Okay.
Okay. Let's discuss General Hospital. Reagan, Johnny is taking on the Corinthos organization and wearing Bill Clinton masks in the process.
Oh, God. And did you catch that throwaway line? I know that's Max Giambatti's favorite choice of disguise. Really? It is? Since when?
Sonny's goods or something.
It's ridiculous. I like it. I get it. You know, Johnny's more or less is trying to take Sonny down as a man, not necessarily trying to kill him. He's trying to tear him apart as a man to get back at him for how he treated Claudia. You know, he knows the truth. He knows who really killed his sister. And this is his own personal justice. Claudia was treated like shit by every man in her life, pretty much except Johnny. You know, maybe in his lesser moments, he was not so nice to his sister. But, you know, basically, Jason's telling him, you know, you're staying alive because you know the secret. But that's only going to keep you alive for so long. You keep messing with me and Sonny, we're going to mess back. And
if you keep stealing our cigars, GH, I'm sorry, but you really have to go ahead and say that Sonny's selling dope. I know you don't want to say that, but no. All this blood and shedding and tears over cigars and coffee, I know they don't want to act like Sonny is ever doing anything really bad with his mob stuff, but he's got to be smuggling cocaine or guns or something of a nefarious nature. I'm sorry. Porn. The mob runs porn, drugs, like all the vices of the world that you can't get. No, I don't believe that there are shootouts over Cuban cigars.
Yeah,
sorry. There's got to be some coke in these crates or something. It's like,
well, they said all that was missing from the shipment was some Cuban.
But have you noticed they never talk about what Jason and Sonny illegally do?
Yeah, I know.
It's like, are they running whores or what? I mean, you know, the staple
you
from the
guy. You did know a little bit more back in the day, like when Sonny ran the strip club. I mean,
yeah, he was in the
and he was a little bit of a drug pusher back then. Remember, he got like Karen hooked on drugs and stuff.
Yeah, it's like, but they've gone away. They did the Godfather thing, which is Sonny doesn't want drugs in this, you know.
Right.
But okay, And we know that they deal with illegal gambling, but the shipping, what are they shipping that's so bad? You know,
it's well, like, it's either going to be, it's, yeah, it's going to, it's got to be weapons almost.
Sonny wasn't paying attention growing up as a Zakara. You're really going to try to take down, Sonny's supposed to be what, the most, the biggest mobster on the Eastern Seaboard?
Yeah, and poor Charles.
Yahoos are going to take him on? It's like, why doesn't he, like, use his father? Like, when this storyline was starting, I thought that the way that this was going to go was Johnny was going to have a secret meeting with all the former Zakara family members who now work for Sonny, and they stage a coup to, like, and divide the families into two rival families again.
Well, he has been meeting with his dad and having his dad set, like, some things up from the inside. But when it comes to, like, personally going after Sonny, Johnny's handling all that.
It's, yeah, it's like, and that is so lame to me. Two people, and then they go back to the bar. And then Jason comes and shows up.
How they're handling it, like, Johnny can just do this all himself when, like, supposedly whole organizations have come in and tried and failed. It is a little ridiculous. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Faith Roscoe couldn't do it, but these two.
And Faith Roscoe gave us the best shootout ever.
Oh, that was my girl. I love me some Faith Roscoe.
Faith Roscoe needs to return to town as Johnny's new love interest. Let's talk about the other Sonny scenes going on this last week. What did you think of Patrick confronting Sonny, basically, and the fact that he revealed that he's known about Dante for much longer than Sonny has, and B, he basically called Sonny on his crap. What'd you think, Jamie?
Oh, I've seen that scene 1,000 times, Luke. Jax has recited those lines. Every woman that dates a... Every woman that dates someone that one of the women that is enamored by Sonny ends up giving him that line at some point, you know? So, I mean, it wasn't really, I mean, I wondered when it would happen with Patrick, but I mean, this is par for the course. They all, you know, end up being like, I like you, Sonny. You're nice. You tell a good joke, but you're a killer. And that doesn't set well with me. And then Sonny yells, "You don't know what Deke did to me." And then it's like, you know, or whatever. It's like, I guess you're so perfect. And, you know, I guess Patrick, this is where the lines kill me, because Patrick could be like, no, I'm not perfect, but I don't, like, shoot people over stupid cigars, you know. I mean, and of course there was foreshadowing, because Patrick will probably bag this lame blonde, you know, and, you know, hurt Robin. And, you know, I loved the scene with Robin and Sonny, though, because I love that history. That takes me back to being a teenager watching this show when it was so good. I mean, it's not bad now, but it was so good.
Yeah.
Back in those days, and Stone and Sonny, and, you know, I mean, one beat that they could bring up is that Robin's parents are cops. I mean, no, they're not cops. They're WSB, you know, but, well, yeah, Nana's been a police commissioner several times. So that could be a big... This really should be a thing for her. She, you know, her mom could have been gunned down by
the commissioner.
Yeah, you know, so it's, they could have her be a little more indignant about this. I mean, at some point, it's not just enough to say that, yeah, you and Stone were BFF, so that means everything you do from now until forever is ookie smooky with me, but.
Well.
I'm glad that they folded them back into orbit, though, because that's one thing that I was sitting there thinking about GH. There's so many beats. Like, I'm enjoying GH, but, like, why hasn't Carly visited Liz and, like, gotten in her face? You know,
she's too busy with Sonny. And I'm just so sick and tired of Sonny blaming everybody else for not telling him about Dante. Dude, you shot a cop in your living room point blank. Take some freaking responsibility. I'm so sick and tired of it. Like, it's just ridiculous already.
JB, weren't you and I having this discussion earlier today?
Yeah, I would rather see them playing other beats with Carly rather than just the Sonny stuff. I would love for her being a dog with a bone about, like, she should be pushing Jason more to get that kid so that I can get my liaison in scene.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could see that. But right now, you know, Carly sometimes has tunnel vision.
Why isn't she going to Edward and being like, I want you to give Michael give Michael an internship at ELQ, which would piss off Tracy, you know, to try to get him distracted. Or just, there's so many other beats than the same old Carly, Jason, Sonny triumvirate of togetherness.
Let's talk about, speaking of same old beats and telling the same story over and over. Reagan, this last week I was telling you on Instant Messenger how frustrated I'm getting with the character of Spinelli. Because I love Bradford Anderson, I love Kirsten Storms, I love both of their characters, but I am so sick and tired of Spinelli's insecurity issues. He has been in the same loop of the story now for years. It is always about how he does not measure up, and yet everybody goes to him, and it's always, I have to do something more to be more of a man. Give the poor boy some balls, get him to do something else, and just make the character interesting. It is worn off. The Spinelli speak was nice, but I mean, if you're going to, there's no growth in this character whatsoever. It's just the same thing. Every time a new alpha dog issue comes up, he has a small dog syndrome. You the actually, Napoleon complex.
We have actually seen similar complaints around. A lot of people are getting a little tired with Spixie in general, which is not abnormal for a soap couple. I mean, especially when writers get a tad bit too comfortable and start kind of writing themselves in a circle. You know, Spinelli's setting up this kind of fake case, and you know, he's trying to win some man points, and he's going to get them in a sticky situation again, and where somebody else is going to have to come and bail him out. So it all backfires, and it is, it's sad. Like, he, you know, he's got his place in the whole organization, so to speak, but I mean, he's not emasculated. I mean, he doesn't have to always get them into some such dire trouble where somebody else has to come bail him out. You know, he could grow a little bit as a character. He doesn't have to be the pansy ass all the time.
So, I know. Why not have the WSB find out about Spinelli's computer skills as the Jackal and have to recruit him? And there you have Frisco and Felicia, the sequel.
Oh, God. Okay. Don't say that. Frisco and Felicia were like one of my all-time favorite couples.
Well, you know, she's Felicia and Frisco's kid. I mean, maybe
I love Maxie and I love Kirsten Storms, but she is not Felicia.
She's a better actress. That Krista Molina, what's her name? Well,
Christina Wagner.
She didn't know where she was the last time she was on that show.
Yeah, she was horrible the last time she was on the show. I will agree with you. But well, Maxie is not Felicia in Felicia's heyday.
Final topic. Let's discuss Helena's manipulations of the paternity tests. Oh. Reagan.
Oh, it's so Helena, but at the same time, why did they bring this woman back if all they're going to have her do is lurk around a fucking mental hospital and plot to switch paternity test results? I mean, where are my freaky potions and ice princesses? I mean, come on.
And knives, letter openers,
yeah,
with knives.
I mean, what are they doing?
Lord help, I just... Constance Powers is such a great actress.
She is, and she's such a trooper because she keeps coming back. I mean,
but it's just like, oh, I hate this whole storyline. I really do. Oh. I mean, thank God it gave Jonathan those amazing scenes, but other than that, it's just, I don't buy Nicholas loving. I'm really in love with Elizabeth. Uh-huh, I want a sushi with her. I took an Ambien. I'm Tiger Woods. I'm like, you sleepwalk through every scene, Tyler Christopher. It's like, I think you're in love with me. It's like, what do you mean? You don't know who you're in love with. I think you're in love with the, you know, pastry guy or the pastry princess. I don't know what I'm talking about because I don't know what to describe with this. He doesn't sell anything anymore.
I know I'm not a good father, Alexis. I know.
And Nancy Lee Grant is a firebrand having to share scenes with this, you know, comatose person. And I loved Liaison because it was a little bit of fire and ice, you know. Steve Burton gets to be, you know, considered like stone cold and this and that. But together they had a yin and yang that was pretty electric. But her and Tyler are like, and Liz has too many children. I know that Rebecca is pregnant in real life.
You've got problems with people, their children. You didn't like Sammy's children either.
I don't like all these children. I don't like them. I don't like them. I don't like them. Yes, I cannot stand Sammy having four children on that show.
Sammy has four children?
Yes, and two twins with different fathers. I can't stand that kind of shit. It's stupid. I stopped watching Guy and Light because of that. I just, you know, for 2 years when Blake had those twins by different men. I don't like that kind of stuff. And now Elizabeth, now yes, there are plenty. My Rachel Corey had three kids by three different men. And then she had two more by Carl, which is gross because she was like 1,000 years old.
Yes. But, oh my God. You know,
but I just cannot
Her
stand
womb was the
this.
Crypt keeper. They still popped them out.
It's like, and now Liz is going to have three children by three men. It's just too much. It's just too much. Too many children. You know, is this As the World Turns now? You know, Lily's got 18 children over there. You know, that's why that show got canceled, because they couldn't pay all the child actors. It's like, enough. I like Cam and Jake, but... do we have to have another child? Everybody, they have too many children on this show. It's like Carly's got three now, about three by three. Alexis has two by brothers. Elizabeth already has two and is going to have another one. And they don't show Spencer. It's just children, 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 children. And they're all related. So it's like... just enough. Stop having all these kids all the time.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode of Jamie's Comments at podcast@daytimeconfidential.com or on daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on twitter.com/DCConfidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time.
Elena, you can't have it. Unless how much you talking? I think it's a Cassidy air. That was a odd night.
Tyler, it's your baby.
He bored me to sleep and then raped me.
Ha 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 ha!